city and link me to these.
Got it.
Yeah. They could right. potentially link me to these extremist ideas. I don't know, but
these ideas aren't extremist. We're middle of the
these
road.
These ideas, they don't
we're
represent
radical centrists here. Yeah.
The speakers, regardless of what they say.
All right, yeah, boys.
We're just your average down home. Okay, so are we starting now?
Here, hold on. Here, give me
what's the intro song? What are we doing?
The intro, so I'll edit that in later. Oh. I'm trying to, my computer is being here.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, I literally have like the same computer I had when I lived with you, Nico. But all right, okay, here we go.
The HP?
Yeah. all right, mahalo. Mahalo, welcome to the SlimeWire podcast, boys. This is episode 2838. We're back, baby. Your host, the Triton T2. I'm the main creative force behind this project. I'm the, some would say, the star.
The star.
I have my two co-hosts with me. Let's sound off. Let's see who's here. Let's start with the main.
Yeah, so I'm providing a... updates from Japan. That's kind of my role on the show. Coming at you live, I'm Ikeman Sensei, formerly the Minister of Loneliness. And I think I had one before that too, but let's stick with Ikeman Sensei for now.
And the newest addition to the team, what's up?
Shalom to the homies. This is Shinzon 009. I'm coming at you live from San Francisco, slums that breathe hatred.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Are you
living
actually
just enough for the city out there?
Are you actually
there?
Yeah, he's
San
actually in a tent.
Why would I lie?
I guess, yeah you're right. You know, he wouldn't lie.
What have you got to hide?
Yeah, I didn't know about Shinzon's move, but Ikeman, I've heard about your move to, you're in the big city now. You're in Osaka?
Oh yeah, I'm in Osaka, baby.
Yeah.
Back in the thick of it.
I was fucking, I was disappointed because I thought you were going to be in, like, the middle of the city. I thought you were going to be, like, going hard in, like, super metropolitan Osaka, but apparently not. Apparently you went the bitch route.
Some Asian gash.
Yeah, you're in some suburb or something, but yeah, tell us about it. How's it going over there?
I did not take the bitch route. Osaka's played out, okay? Kobe's where it's at. It's a college town. There's little college hoes.
Wait, it's a town? It's a whole different place from Osaka? Like, it's not even like a neighborhood. It's like a whole different town.
It's a province.
Okay, stop fucking like negging me here. Let me explain what's going on. Kobe's lit. Kobe is super fucking
chill. I'm just saying all I heard from Evan was, oh, I'm moving to Osaka. I'm moving to Osaka. It's going to be lit.
Yeah, he's mad we're 2 weeks late.
Buddy,
have you even looked at a map of what the place that you're talking about is? Like, do you know what Kobe is at all?
Yeah,
Kobe
I did. Beach. There was like a, you got like a 7-Eleven 2 blocks away. It's not that cool.
Okay. But, that's
no, tell me, tell me how it's cool.
Okay. It's super lit. I'm in a town in the hills overlooking the port coastal city of Kobe. Okay. Kobe is a hip, thriving, bohemian community located just south of Osaka, but it is sort of, it's part of the kind of like metropolitan. You look at the map, two, but a little bit separate from us, okay? So they're different districts of what's right. So Kyoto, you got Kyoto, rich history and traditions. They're being very like haughty in the capital, so they think they're better than everybody else in Japan. Then you go down to Osaka. Osaka's like a big, it's kind of like the San Francisco of Japan. People down in Kobe.
It's not like the San Francisco of Japan.
What do you mean?
It's not like.
Well, I think if you
San Francisco, what do you mean?
If you compare like New
no,
York.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah. If you compare to it's a valid point. You'd say that people in San Francisco are more laid back. Maybe, you know, maybe they're a little bit. More
people in New York are assholes. Yeah. Well, getting into fights
exactly.
over bullshit.
San Francisco
getting into fights over heroin. Fucking poppers.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
I think.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Ikeman. My computer, like I said, it's I have to get a new computer because I did not hear a word you said. It was just like tweaking out. I couldn't understand anything you said. I hope it comes out well in the recording, but I have no idea what you said.
Okay, please believe me, Morgan. Please believe me. God damn it, it's a good move. All right, it was a good move.
I'm sure it's better. I'm sure it's better than whatever mountain town you were living in.
Yeah. So you go down. So I'm like a 20-minute. Train ride from downtown Osaka or downtown
okay hold on you're a 20 minute train ride That sounds oh my god.
From Kobe.
That's from even Kobe. Worse. That's even worse.
How is that bad?
Because that's not Osaka. That's not the cool, hip, like metropolitan area.
Well, I think 20
minutes train ride away from a suburb.
Dude.
Osaka isn't hip. It's like the
Osaka's lit, eh? Hey.
What's it called?
What's it called, buddy?
What's it called?
I don't know. I give up. I tap out. All eyes are on me. I give up.
All right, Morgan.
Show. That's what it is.
It's a shit show. It's not a shit show at all. It's a great town. It's a great town, right?
Okay. I believe that you're happy with where you're at. I wish the best.
And I'm happy about that. That's good too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Nico. I appreciate that.
I'm happy for you.
Triton, can you see us? Is the question.
Yeah, I definitely can, but I might have to. Maybe you guys should turn off your video because my computer is fucking up. Maybe if it's all audio, this will go way smoother.
That's like the main thing for me. That's where all my gags come from. I can't just shut off the fucking video.
He's a visual. Okay. How do I stop video? Okay, here we go.
Yeah, here, let me see. All
right.
Stop video. There we go.
Nice.
All right, so now I'm just a Simpsons head.
Oh, yeah, this is going way smoother for me. Yeah, this makes a lot more sense.
All right.
All right, boys. Well, so we've been gone for a while, so a lot of the stuff we're going to be talking about is a little bit outdated.
It's a little bit stale.
We were gone because, we were basically gone because Evan was moving to Osaka, but then that turned out to not really be the case. But
it was basically the case, okay?
That's all right. I mean, we're here now, so we're here and we can talk. So, boys, let's talk Donda.
All right.
Let's talk
Donda.
It's the biggest cultural movement. Yeah. I'd like to apologize for our last episode where we said that our whole last episode was about pledging allegiance to Allah. I'd like to apologize.
Oh, yeah. We have fully converted this.
Yeah,
point.
There is
definitely
one true God, the one true Christian
Absolutely.
God. Yeah. And it's the one that Kanye West talks about on Donda, which is, in my opinion, it's like the greatest piece of art of recent memory.
In recent history.
Yes, definitely. It belongs in a museum. It's pure fire.
I've got it fighting for the first spot of my top Kanye records, honestly.
Oh, it's definitely.
Really? I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely
I don't know
top
if it's
for
first
me.
Spot.
I'm not like a big Kanye head, so I don't even know like what the really good ones are. But as far as the ones that I like really listen to a lot, yeah, it's top. It's top for me. Donda, it kills it, bro. It just kills everything.
Just in general listenability, you know what I mean? You could just jump into the album.
Oh, and any track.
Feel for it. You know what I mean? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it just feels so comforting.
Oh,
it's a feel good album. You know what I mean? It's a feel good album. Yeah. Definitely.
Oh yeah. I think that. Well, I don't know. I kind of felt like it was a, like it is sort of like a flawed album in a way. I don't know. Like it's not, like all the way through. Like every track isn't a total banger. You know, it's not like a majestic, perfect album. But for the statement that it makes, you know, and like for having released it as like a document of like Kanye's life and his trajectory, you know, I feel like that alone makes it a great album because as me and Trent JT were talking about, it's released during the, you know, in the life of a man whose life has been marked by crises. Just constantly.
Christies.
Yeah.
As it were.
That's the title of the podcast right there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Midlife Christies.
Yeah, it is like the ultimate midlife crisis rap album. And
well, let's not forget that it's also a divorce album.
Yes. But I mean, I think that like that all kind of It's also an album commemorating the death of
his mother. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all of those things, and all of those things like just wrap into the midlife crisis of this man. And I think that nobody could make a rap midlife crisis album except for Kanye. Like that concept and like what he's writing about and what he's singing about in Donda, like nobody else could really pull it off except for him, you know? So it's an album that only one man in the world could make, and that's Kanye West. So I think just for that reason alone, it's like amazing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I get what you were saying, that like it is like there's like flaws in it, but I think that like that really like helps the album more, even, because it's like people, like I've heard people say it's like underproduced or something, and it's like, yeah, well there's you know, there's room to breathe in there so that you mm-hmm. can look between the lines and you can find God yourself within
it. I see.
You know?
I mean, I always think that there's something to be said for like albums that are like albums shouldn't have this. I guess this is contrary to everything I've ever said on this podcast about albums that are just filled with bangers, nothing but bangers. But like there's something to be said for an album that's a little bit too long and has some kind of okay tracks, you know?
Oh, I have a lot to say about the length, the sheer length of this project.
That's another thing, yeah. You forget you're listening to it. You forget you're listening to it at certain
points. That's been like an ongoing problem.
The tonal
problem.
Shifts, yeah, definitely.
It reminds me of one of those like 1950s like 4 hour long epic like movies about like biblical tales.
Yeah.
Like
it's just the Lawrence of Arabia soundtrack.
Yeah, it's just so unnecessarily epic and sweeping and grandiose. That's like a lot of why I think it like truly belongs in a museum, because it's like it's this super intense like work of art, like more than
it's an epic, definitely.
Yeah, much more than being a rap album. Like it represents something much more than that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where it's like in an age of like
In an age of streaming where every song is supposed to be like a minute and a half long.
Exactly. Yeah. In the age where albums are few and far between and most of them are just collections of singles. Like again, like there the list of like artists that could make this album that have like the clout to make an album that has like a concept that has like running themes in it, you know, like running like narrative themes, is like growing slimmer and slimmer by the day.
I honestly can't think of a hip hop artist that would be able to pull that off. I could think of a lot of like prog rock that could do that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they would be able to transition to it, like different songs, but still like keep the main theme kind of things going on. Hip hop artists, I don't see that shit going on. I see like chop to fucking song about fucking bitches, chop to. Yeah. Song about feeling bad about fucking
I can't think of anybody
like
else that,
speed kind of shit. Yeah,
I can't think of anybody else that could like come close to making an album like this. I mean, like I guess the closest that anybody has ever come is probably To Pimp a Butterfly.
I guess, I mean,
true.
That's true, but I imagine that Kendrick Lamar, after having created that, will never go back to something like that again.
Yeah, he's going to the Super Bowl. He ain't going back.
Yeah,
he knows where he's going.
Especially like after Damn, you know, like Damn was just like just a collection of bangers, and just a collection of singles. And yeah, one thing that I think about like the production style of this, or what I was thinking as I was listening to it, was like Kanye's production style. And I don't understand anybody who says that this record is underproduced. Like, it's sparsely produced.
Oh, definitely.
It's not underproduced. Yeah, like, I think that, like, every
time
I listen...
Some dude told me it was underproduced. That's the only reason I... Some random dude was like, yeah, I don't fuck with it. It's underproduced. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, shut, what the fuck are you talking about? Like...
Yeah, for sure. I think that, Like, listening to it, it's like you get this like Kanye West's production style. Like, I always forget about what makes Kanye West's music not sound like other people's music. And then you listen to like his latest album, and then you like realize that he totally has, like, he's never had, he's always had a totally idiosyncratic, like, production style and, like, samples and stuff.
He's,
and
yeah, he's always, right, sorry.
No, after you.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's always had, like, kind of like a force behind him, where, like, you could tell his influence is from, like, this kind of, like, gospel music. But he never really embraced it. With this album, he definitely like embraced that whole like gospel feel, just like this.
Yeah, that's true.
Feel good music kind of stuff. Like listen to College Dropout, Good Morning. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
like,
yes.
That's totally gospel influenced, if not anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I actually was thinking about that too, because like, yeah, his earliest albums, his signature sound was like this sped up soul sample, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
And so like from the very beginning, he had that like gospel influence, and I think that like listening to any Kanye album reminds you of like a Disney soundtrack. For some reason, whenever I listen to Kanye West, I think of like The Lion King. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't know why. It's totally like
powerful.
Every single one. Yeah, it just makes me think of The Lion King.
Yeah, like, I wonder how big of a Phil Collins head Kanye is.
I hope he is. Oh, dude. Holy shit, I hope he is.
I bet.
I hope he isn't just like, man, fuck that guy.
But I think, so one thing that I was thinking about on this album was the intense, like, weirdness of like what the kind of sounds that like he chose to combine to
Tarzan make this soundtrack
album. I feel like what it was like this album is like a combination of 808s and Heartbreak and gospel. His latest gospel influences combined, like he's going back to like that sound, like the 808s and Heartbreak sound, but then adding like gospel music to it, you know, which is such a weird, like there have been so many phases of Kanye's like sound that he could have chosen to just like, he could have had College Dropout plus gospel or,
I think big one of his albums that it, like, if you were to compare this one to any other one, I think is Life of Pablo. Because I think Life of Pablo is equally like grandiose and sweeping, and the amount of like it's all about the insane features and like the crazy. Mm-hmm. Like Kanye West is the only person that can pull together this group of people to like be on such a project. Like, and I think that
sound like a fucking mess.
Exactly. And it's like completely cohesive. Like every single feature on this album, which is like. Like, I'm not, like, I don't even like DaBaby. Like, I think DaBaby is kind of like a shit rapper, right? But his verse on that
his
song
his feature
is
wasn't
like,
that bad. Yeah,
no, it's amazing.
It was fluid.
It was fluid.
I liked it.
It's the best verse he's ever given, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he only did that because it was Kanye asking for
respected him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that also just speaks to probably... At this point, Kanye West is just like, he knows everything about how to make. Well, like, you know, I imagine that he knows how to get the best, like, take out of somebody at this point.
Yeah, the best performance and stuff.
Yeah.
Was Donda self-produced?
I think so.
Or Donda?
Well,
was self-produced?
He's always been a... He's always been like a rapper producer, so I.
Yeah, definitely. But that was a massive fucking. It would make sense.
Well, Kanye. If you look at every single Kanye album, there's like a billion writing credits on every single track.
Absolutely, yeah.
But
yeah,
like,
so, well, I'm looking at his track. I'm looking at the track list right now, and he's credited as a producer on every track. So
fucking legend.
Yeah.
Fucking legend.
Yeah.
King. Yeah.
Absolute king shit. But I mean, like, there was a, I think it's in either God Breathed or Off the Grid. It has like this 90s, like, like rubber band bass sound on it that is very like electro, like Chicago, like house influenced type shit. And so, yeah, I mean, that's what stands out to my mind when I say that it's a combination of 808s and Heartbreak and gospel. I guess it's really just that one track. But no, I feel like
The auto-tune.
Yeah.
Also the auto-tune. He doesn't really spit that much on this album. And somebody, like, I listen to there's like this hip-hop podcast that I listen to, and they were like, somebody was like, man, I'm just sick of Kanye doing all this auto-tune shit, bro. And it's like, bro, auto-tune has been around for like 15 years. Like, what are you, like, how can you honestly still be on this shit? Like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that'll be a criticism of now that people, I mean, you know, rap is like 30 years old. Now that the people that were there at the beginning are in middle age, that'll just be a criticism until they all, you know,
put your assholes
for all time now. But yeah, like, how could, like, I feel like rapping is too juvenile of a thing for Kanye West. Like, Kanye West is a man. He owns many cars and he's been divorced. Like, he's not gonna spit bars. Like, he's, you know, he's singing his to save his soul.
Yeah, definitely. He's singing literally to God and his dead mother. I think a big part of this project for anybody that dislikes it is that this isn't for you. Like, it's literally only for God and his dead mother. So, like, you can either find the beauty within it, or you can, like, shut the fuck up and, like, accept that you have no soul. Like, if you can't, like, get past that part of it, you know?
Yeah. That was another thing that I wanted to mention about, like, this is, like, I feel like there is maybe in, not just in, like, rap, but in all kinds of music, there is maybe like a division between, like, I don't know what you would call, like, a big album or like a stadium album, like a big popular album, and then a quiet, intimate album, you know?
LP kind of shit?
I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of a good example, but maybe something like like Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band versus...
I fucking hate the Beatles.
Yeah, I don't listen to that shit, Evan. I don't know what you're...
Yeah, I hate the Beatles. I'm
just making the comparison. And
John Lennon was a pedophile.
Don't try to pretend to me that you've never listened to those albums before.
I never have.
I believe him completely.
I never have.
Okay, well, anyways... I think you guys know what I'm talking about, though.
No, I don't. Like, you're gonna have to come up with another comparison.
You're gonna have to bring up like a Metallica album, or like a Van Halen, Van Hagar.
do like Pink Floyd or something. I understand that.
okay, Pink Floyd. So like Pink Floyd, there's like the early
Wish You Were Here kind of shit.
There's the early albums from the guy before they kicked him out, you know?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And that's a lot of, like, just acoustic guitar music and, like, quiet little songs and stuff. And then there's, you know, Dark Side of the Moon, which is a big, loud...
Theatrical
album, exactly. And so usually we think that, like, either an album is going to be one of those two things, right? It's going to be soft, quiet, intimate, about your emotions, or it's going to be big and loud and fit for a big stadium or something. But this is like, I feel like this is like a very intimate album that explores Kanye West's emotions, but it's also a big, giant, like, epic, loud sounding album. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Epic,
right? So that's what I'm trying to say, is that, like, Kanye West is the only man who could, like, make an intimate, quiet album that is also a big stadium album, because his emotions are the size of stadiums. You know,
if we're gonna talk about the album itself, we have to talk about the performance that preceded the album, in which he had constructed a house, an entire house in the middle of a stadium, so that he could.
He did a lot more than that, brother.
Yeah,
he did some crazy shit.
You might have to fill me in.
He had giant masses of people like running in circles and like opposite directions. He was doing like straight like voodoo, like fucking like
cult shit.
Yeah, straight voodoo cult shit. And I personally believe that he was literally trying to send messages to his mother, like in the afterlife. And I feel like
that's badass.
Yeah, it like really had nothing to do with like promoting the album. I mean, it obviously it did, but it had a lot some draconian more to fucking, do. Yeah, he's just an insane billionaire that is using like the tools at his disposal to try and talk to his mother in the afterlife. Like, it's badass. He's like a super villain.
That is badass. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, he's like a shaman. He's like a modern day shaman.
Yeah.
He's one of those weird ones.
He's just unconcerned. Like, yeah, so maybe it was a promotional event meant to build hype for his new album. But that was just his excuse that he gave to get funding for it and to, like, rent out the stadium so that he could pursue his actual goal, which was...
He's trying to summon the devil.
Yeah, to convene with...
Oh, God, not the devil. Definitely not the devil.
Oh, yeah, God. Oh, yeah, I fully believe he's a holy man.
Yeah.
So what were some standout tracks for you, boys? I think I probably had the most plebeian...
Okay. Well, first off, best feature. Best feature on the album.
Jay Electronica. You're retarded if you're not saying Jay Electronica.
Jay Electronica's verse is insane. He is saying all this insane Hotep shit. It's amazing. Oh, like, it's so crazy.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Jay Electronica as well. Yeah.
Jay Electronica. Any other? Like, I loved. He had Thug on No Control. Thug singing. Crooning, that was beautiful.
That was nice. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Both versions of Jail were great. Jay-Z's verse. I know Shinzon, you were really into Jay-Z's verse. As you were telling me that you previously said that was the best feature.
Which one? No, I did.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. I would never say Jay-Z. Fuck that guy.
Oh, you said Jay. You were saying Jay Electronica.
Oh, okay. Jay Electronica. Yeah,
I thought you meant Jay-Z. But no, Jay-Z's verse was... Jay-Z. No, Jay-Z's verse was good.
He had decent. No, he was good. He was good. He wasn't my favorite, but yeah, he had decent bars. Definitely.
Yeah. And then the baby on the other version of Jail was also great.
I liked the Kid Cudi verse. That might be nostalgia speaking off of... what was the track? Moon?
Moon is a great track.
Moon. Yeah. Banger. Yeah. I love that shit. I haven't heard Cudi in a while.
The last time I heard him was on Playboi Carti's album, and he killed that shit too.
Holy shit, yeah. I'd never even heard that one.
Evan, what about you?
So I'm going to just go ahead and follow Shinzon and say that Jay Electronica's, his weird Hotep shit was definitely my favorite. Standout, or it was basically the only feature that jumped out at me. I will totally shamefully admit that, like, while I was listening to this album, I didn't really stop to look at the features, you know.
You must have recognized Playboi Carti on like those couple tracks he was on.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, once the Young Thug thing came, feature came through, I was like, okay, yeah. It just kind of blended in for me. Other than that, I would say my favorite track was Hurricane. I'm gonna go Hurricane. I've been having that on repeat in my listening rotation for the last couple weeks.
I think Hurricane is like the most, I think it's the biggest track. I think it's the biggest one on Spotify. So I don't think you're not alone in your thoughts.
I was fully expecting to have the most, when I listened to it, I was like, yeah, this is kind of the most like radio friendly track on here. It's the one that I would like the most. And it was, it was my favorite.
Yeah, I like Hurricane. I like Moon a lot, definitely. Jesus Lord with the J Electronica. Off the Grid is fire. Remote Control, fire. What's the one? Here, let me look at the track list. There's one, like, near the end that's fucking amazing. But Shinzon, go off.
Yeah, Shinzon, what's the standout track for you?
Oh, New Shinzon. Again. New Again, that's the one I was talking about.
New Again.
Oh, Shinzon entered the waiting room. Let me let him back in.
Oh, Shinzon.
He's coming back. He's coming back. No dead air, baby. No dead air.
There we go. We're back, baby. We're back, baby. Like nothing ever happened.
Hey. All right.
Like nothing happened.
We were asking you what your favorite, what your standout tracks were.
Yeah, my standout tracks were, I was fucking looking them up and I fucking swiped away my Zoom call. They were. My bad. Fucking, had them on this thing.
I was saying New Again. Make me new again. You know what I'm talking about? Make me new again.
Fucking had it.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, what's your criteria for great for you, Shinzon? Because I feel like our viewership already kind of knows where me and Triton T2 are coming from. But what's your angle on, what are you evaluating the most heavily when you say this track really stood out to me? Like, just pure.
Well, let's see. I like to listen to the general beat of the music.
Yeah.
You know, I take a dabble in what the lyrics are about. you know, I do my little research on who the artist is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just so I'm not promoting anything a little bit too violent. You know what I mean?
Of course, of course. So you like it? Like to keep it PG.
I like to keep it PG. This album is right up my alley.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. You like positive.
Did y'all notice how he every single feature, if there's a curse word, it's cut out? Like they edited out all the curse words on this album.
No, I did not notice that at all.
Yeah, and there isn't even an explicit and a non-explicit version like on Spotify. It's just the one version, and it's for God.
Nice. Yeah. I liked.
All right.
I liked Off the Grid.
Okay.
God Breathed.
All right. Well, Donda's Stupid Fire. We all love Donda. I think
absolutely.
What I was saying is, like, if you don't like this album, I mean, you can not like this album, but to not like accept it as like a sweeping like piece of art, and to just like be like Kanye's trash. He's lost his. Fucking like,
yeah,
like if you're doing that, like you don't have a soul, like you're just
lame. It's obviously a concept album, you know what I mean? It's a concept and it succeeds in what the concept is derived from,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
I think before we move on, it's worth noting that the other, like, principal architect of the modern hip hop scene. Released an album at the same time and had this huge beef with Kanye. I'm talking, of course, about Drake.
Oh, that album was so ass, dude. That was like...
Yeah, and basically...
did you guys see... Gosh, what's his name? Fucking fell asleep listening to it. I know I sent Triton the video.
Oh, DJ Academics?
DJ Academics fucking fell asleep while he was listening to Certified Lover Boy on stream. Nice. And a bunch of people were telling him, like, wake up!
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't listen to the whole thing, and if I did, I would have fallen asleep too. Honestly, I skipped to the Young Thug feature, and it was the worst Young Thug feature I've ever heard in my life. It was pure contrast
to the.
I also feel like both of those albums are like, you know, like any hip hop album is kind of always about.
Always about what?
He's out, he's divorced, and like Drake's, it's because he's in Japan.
You're gonna have to go back. You just cut out. What were you saying?
Okay, so Kanye West's like both albums are like, you know, like any hip hop album is about the personal life.
Do you mind? Do you mind if I insert a little bit of personal from what I drew from it? So I had a friend. I have a friend that lives in Washington, D.C. He's kind of on the has a good idea about this kind of shit. So what he had said was Certified Lover Boy is a concept album trying to further the idea of male masculinity and this kind of toxicness behind it and all that kind of stuff. And the first thing he said about it was like, and they don't have a chick on it. It's like, if you're trying to represent something, why would you have a secondary opinion on this kind of stuff? You know what I mean? Maybe not in the scope of like the music making, but I mean, like, it just seemed so black and white, kind of shitty. And all the songs are just kind of bare minimum kind of effort kind of stuff.
I think it's basically the message of that album is like Drake trying to like playfully acknowledge the fact that he's like a
toxic
baby.
Masculinity.
Yeah, like playfully, like kind of winkingly acknowledge the fact that he has an illegitimate son and like grooms young and shit, you know?
Oh,
like,
he groomed the girl from fucking Stranger Things.
So it's all about how many women he impregnated. Like, haha, I probably have even more illegitimate children all around the US. Ha ha ha. And like, that's what that album's about. And then this album is about coming to terms with your mortality and the death of your mother and coming to terms with the ending.
It's a more lasting theme than some, like, flavor of the week kind of like, oh yeah, I'm talking about my bitches.
Real shit, you know?
And how they affect me.
It's actually real shit. It's sincere. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was very happy to see that this Battle of the Titans came out, I think, in Kanye's favor.
Oh yeah, I mean 100%. Donda Fire. I think we said pretty much all that we can say. Let's go back. Let's really take it back. And we're about to be so outdated and stale. It's hilarious. But let's talk about Vaporwave and 9/11. Boys.
Yeah.
What is Vaporwave's relationship to 9/11?
They go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, I think 9/11 is the most Vaporwave like thing that ever happened. I mean, it predates Vaporwave, but it's basically Vaporwave.
And granted, this isn't a positive thing. This is just how it is. You know what I mean? We're not branding fucking Vaporwave as some like fucking 9/11 shit. This is just it fits so heavily within the narrative of like fucking Vaporwave.
Yeah, 9/11
is just like 9/11 was how it was handled within these kinds of like fucking just outlets of media. And how they handled 9/11.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, you know, 9/11
most of them wouldn't
want
to talk about it. You know what I mean? Radio stations were saying, like, fucking, I don't want to talk about that. Let's go to the next caller.
Yeah, 9/11 was like the loss of innocence for, like, I mean, not only our generation, but the generation before us. I mean,
like it was like the moment where the world transitioned into vaporwave, into the vaporwave world, and we didn't know it, and we weren't gonna know it until like 12 years later when vaporwave
in hindsight out. In pure hindsight.
Absolutely. I'm right with you there, Morgan. I mean Trident T2, I absolutely believe that vaporwave would never have existed without 9/11. The two cannot possibly be extricated from the other. And yeah, it definitely was absolutely the transition of reality into a vaporwave state. And the evidence of that, it only could have taken 10 or 12 years to build and then eventually leak out into the world in oral form. So yeah, I'm right with you there.
Yeah, and so of course, vaporwave being what it is, there are of course 9/11 albums, you know, albums about 9/11, and there's two like really big ones. One of them is way bigger than the other, but the main one is News at 11 by Cat Corp, which is like, I think it's pretty, like, besides like Floral Shop and 2814, it's probably like the highest rated vaporwave album ever. Like,
really?
I think so. Like, it's very, very high rated. Wow. Yeah. A lot of people love this album, and it's really crazy. And like, so this is sort of like what I wanted to talk about, because a lot of people really love this album, and then every time 9/11 comes around, they're like, oh shit, I gotta go listen to News at 11. And then this year specifically being the 20-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And with the vaporwave like physical like market like getting so big, like it's bigger than it's ever been. This is when it was prime time for labels to, like, in my opinion, sort of nihilistically cash out on vinyl releases. And in this case, a VHS
legend
release.
Who was that? Was that Corp that did the fucking VHS release?
Well, Corp is the artist that made News at 11. I don't know which label did it. Actually, I do. It was those motherfuckers, Tiger Blood Tapes. And EK Men Sensei and I have beef
That is 100%.
Well, me and EK Men Sensei have beef with Tiger Blood Tapes.
Oh, fuck. No, yeah. They're not based.
Because the guy that runs that label used to run the Private Suite magazine and the Private Suite podcast. And
oh, so, shit.
Yeah, we don't fuck with them because they're a fucking competing. They're a competitor to us in the Vaporwave podcast realm.
I hope you're listening.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Fuck you. But yeah, I do really believe, like, I know that it's funny to be like, haha, Vaporwave, like, we just steal shit and sell it, and isn't it hilarious that we're, like, releasing stuff about 9/11 on 9/11, and it's funny, but it is, in my opinion, a very nihilistic cash grab, and, like, truly, like, I think it's pretty immoral to do that. I don't know.
It is also
hilarious.
Yeah, it is. It's very funny.
It is.
There is
and
no
in other. Essence, it does embody the entire fucking just the nucleus of vaporwave, which is fucking capitalism.
Oh, it's pure vaporwave. It's the most thing that could happen. Like the number one most vaporwave thing that ever happened to anybody was the Floral Shop vinyl scandal, where a bunch of people tried to buy Floral Shop vinyls and got ripped off. The second most vaporwave thing that ever happened was a VHS release on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 of an album about 9/11. That made tons of money.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. So, like,
go ahead.
If you guys haven't seen have you guys seen the? So I looked up what the it was a rip of the VHS, and it
no,
was,
I didn't watch it. No,
I watched it. It was uh, aesthetically pleasing. It was like a really long music video kind of thing. It fluctuated between scenes of like kind of like the Weather Channel or like different news programs and how they handled like the exact moment of when the shit went down kind of thing.
Yeah,
and it was like a compilation of all their like, hey,
yeah, I'm just gonna
we'll see you in a bit kind of stuff. You know what
inject
I mean?
Really quick, like what the conceit ahead. Of the album is the entire album is made from samples of news stations and television on 9/11, but specifically before 9/11 occurred, like the bombing occurred. So it's like
and how they reacted. Each one would fluctuate to the next one, kind of thing.
Yeah, but there's not a single sample on there that is post 9/11. Everything on that album is pre the attack. Yeah,
it's all like weird transitions between like fucking like oh we're having technical difficulties, switch and then they go to another channel,
yeah,
and show their like kind of whatever their filler.
Yeah, I mean, listening to it gives you the vibe of like the same vibe I got from watching the movie Elephant, the film Elephant,
the
Elephant Man,
the Gus Van Sant one.
Yeah, the one about the guy, the one about the Columbine shooter.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I'm just throwing this out there, and you can take it if you want, or you can reject it if you want. But it gives me that exact feeling of the. Of watching the movie Elephant. I don't know why. I probably has something.
Yeah, I'm really going to need you to explain yourself here.
Okay, well, there's a part in Elephant where the shooters are going off and like they're shooting everybody, and the camera kind of pans out, and it's just looking outside of the window of the school, and you just see like clouds and stuff outside of the school. And you can kind of hear off in the distance, like, shit going on. But it's like this eerily calm thing about a disaster. It also happened in the 90s. And I know that 9/11 didn't happen in the 90s, but it was, kind of...
It's a similar era, yeah. I mean, 9/11 happened in 2001. It was basically the 90s. The basic conceit of Vaporwave, and when, if you're talking about 9/11 and Vaporwave, was that the 90s didn't end until 9/11. And then that began the new era, right? Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. So for anybody who likes Vaporwave, there was, 60s, 70s, 80s were all 10 years. The 90s was actually 11 years. And then the 2000s was 9 years. And then the 2010s was 10 years. Now the 2020s. So,
and the 90s didn't end until Cobain blew his brains out.
Well, that was in 94.
Oh, and, no, the 80s didn't end until Cobain blew his
You're pretty much sense. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. But I feel like, I think that the fact that, like, there used to be these cottage industries about commemorating 9/11 for, like, all of the aughts, there was, like, you can buy, like, these commemorative gold coins about 9/11 and, like, little 9/11 flags and stuff.
There was even music. There was, like, massive country music.
Holy shit.
That was all about 9/11 too. Yeah.
Dixie Chicks, so that's stuff. Fucking that's metal stuff. Bands. System of a Down became a big thing because they were they had come from areas of that nature and they had kind of like System of a Down was a big ass fucking thing right after 9/11. Okay, here's this thing. Here's this thing. Get this. Okay, so fucking my local radio station, I lived in Sacramento when I grew up. Fucking, they bleeped an entire fucking verse from System of a Down, so the song was like a minute long. For fucking, it wasn't chop suey, but the song was fucking literally a minute long. We were just like, is this like a real song? Like, what is this? And then my dad went to Tower Records. He bought the fucking album. We heard the full thing. We were just like, what the fuck? Why would they cut this? It was totally about the fucking war. It was totally about like I forgot what song in particular. It wasn't Chop Suey.
I want
to say it was something of some other song, but System of a Down was on the pulse with that kind of shit. Yeah, and fucking so many people were fucking just
They banned so much music off the radio after 9/11.
Yeah, that's the thing too.
They banned like and AC/DC. So many... Like you couldn't listen to AC/DC.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious.
But yeah, so like that used to be like a cottage industry, and the same like the same criticisms of it were that it's like this obscene money grab and stuff. And now nobody does that anymore, except for this very niche internet subgenre of music that for some reason, they're still making money off of 9/11 nostalgia, ironically,
Well, the funny thing is that if you go, you can go to the official merch page for this VHS that is being sold of News at 11, and you can look at the comments on it. If you buy it, you can leave a comment, and it's very sincere. Like the people commenting on it are like, "Wow, this is such a beautiful artistic piece of work. I'm so glad that I'm spending this money to get this VHS release." And it's like, "This was such a terrible day in American history. This is so beautiful that we have this thing to remember it by." Like, there's no irony. I think that the people that put it out, I don't know about Cat Corp himself, what he was thinking when he made the project. It sounds very sincere to me. And the dude that pressed the dude that is promoting and selling this VHS, I've talked to that dude. I know that dude. There's nothing ironic about him, which is why I don't fuck with him, because he doesn't understand vaporwave. But it's completely sincere, and that's why I think it's lame for me, is because I think these people view it as completely sincere. They're not getting the extra layer that we might see, where it's ironically hilarious. And so for me, it's just nihilistic and fucking evil. Okay.
That's sad. I get you.
It really just is it's the same rationale as buying commemorative 9/11 coins, or buying bumper stickers or whatever. There's nobody. Yeah, nobody's like, "Wow, this is such a parallax look at what the United States has become since this happened."
I mean, it would be hilarious if one of the comments on it was "This is hilarious. This is so ironic."
Sign me up. I'll take two.
But that's not what's happening here.
Yeah, okay. So, the rationale that people have for buying this is just to commemorate 9/11.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure that I completely... I mean, I think that it is a little bit different, I don't think that anybody's buying it thinking that they're, doing a favor to those who died during 9/11, or commemorating their lives or anything. It's not exactly the same.
No, it's not exactly the same. But I mean, I just think it's insane. Here,
so what it is that they're romanticizing fucking Roman. It's like people are they're just like, "Wow, that was a moment where I felt important. I felt I was included." We were all a singular fucking kind of mindset. Moving in on one thing.
No, that is totally true. Continue. That is true, though. Yeah.
Oh, that was it.
that is totally true. That it's so people that buy...
There's multiple people fucking moving in on a singular mindset.
People that bought 9/11 swag, they did it out of a sense of patriotism, whereas people that are buying this are buying it
read a review of the album really quick. This is just a quick sentence that somebody that bought it said. "Eerie yet inspiring is how I see this album. A world before the attacks that changed not only America but the entire world. As someone born only half a year before the attacks, I feel a subtle connection despite not remembering it all. Either way, great album."
Whoa.
So they are
either way.
Like,
hey, I respect that opinion. If you're down for anything, fuck it. You know what I mean? Either way.
In the same way that, like, when I was a teenager, I thought, like, man, it would be so cool to be alive during the 60s and I could go to, like, Woodstock. That guy was like, damn, it would have been so crazy.
It would have been so lit if I could have remembered 9/11.
It's like people have, especially in this day and age, we have so much of a representation of, like, fucking destruction. You look at, like, a Jerry Bruckheimer movie, you know what I mean? Like, fucking what? Day After Tomorrow, you see fucking absolute destruction. And look at fucking Independence Day, the White House gets blown up, kind of shit like that. You know what I mean? And then you think, oh, a couple of buildings got blown up. Okay, why is everybody tripping? We know how to handle this because we've seen the movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the kind of mindset people have, though. You know what I mean? You laugh and. It's, That's exactly how it is.
Well, okay. I remember that the...
I'm not bashing you for laughing. I laugh all the time at it. It's fucking hilarious. But, well, I mean, shit.
I remember that, like, just like before the... before 9/11 happened, there were all these movies that were, like, about terrorists.
Just mass destruction. Or not even terrorists. It's just mass destruction. So people see fucking, like... Even people that saw, like, the fucking 9/11, the shots that were the buildings collapsed and there's, like, a wave of dust. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the most recent, what was it? One of the more recent Superman movies kind of does a double take of that fucking shot and just kind of runs with it. And it's just like.
Yeah, that was weird.
That's kind of fucked. That's a little bit fucked. But I mean, at the same time, Trident, have you seen, of course, I don't know.
Man, I haven't seen any movies. I don't watch movies.
True.
You know this. But, I do have a thing. Go ahead. But I do have a thing
I see. The more recent, like, Superman movie had a scene where just people were engulfed in smoke in this, like, big city area. And just, like, buildings are coming down. There's mass destruction. Just, like, fucking... And it's just, like, that was... That came out maybe 11, 12 years after the initial attack.
Yeah.
What they were implying. It's just... I don't want to say that's fucked up, but insane. I mean, like... It's how they represent it. That was, like, a superhero movie. You know what I mean? Would it be better if it were a Jerry Bruckheimer, like, disaster movie? He has, like, a something running, like, oh, the sun's going to create waves that are going to blow up the buildings and cause them to fall down. What would you rather have? Would you rather have some kind of convoluted science or the straight-up comic book being your destructor? You know what I mean? And then you're somebody who's lived through that, and you just looking at both these movies like, what the fuck is wrong with the world?
Okay, to continue off what you were saying, Ikemen Sensei, about, like, how there was this cottage industry of, like, people reacting to 9/11, and then, like, now it's, like, it's only existing in this, like, niche vaporwave genre, right? Like, do either of you guys know about the Disintegration Loops? William Basinski.
Oh, man. Is that the kind of, like, classic, like, old vinyl records thing?
Yeah, it's a collection of tape loops and, like, supposedly, he made those while 9/11 was happening, like, in New York City. And he was literally, like, he was watching the towers collapse. It was, like, a long process where he was recording tape loops disintegrate, and then right as he was nearing the end of the process, 9/11 literally happened, and he was in New York City. And so, like, now they're, like, a, you know, it's, like, a big piece of art that is, like, often connected with 9/11. And he's doing the same, like, the same 20-year anniversary did a massive art installation where they played the Disintegration Loops in, like, a chapel or something. And I'm sure it cost, like, you know, $500 a ticket. You know, and so that is equally nihilistic cash grab as this fucking News at 11 VHS. So like, it's not just happening in vaporwave, but it is happening in experimental music in general. That seems to be the only place that this is happening. There is another. Do we have anything else about news at 11?
Well, I think that the one thing that I do want to like, I think there's a difference between that, which is like an event, which to me isn't so much. It's not like it's like that's not as seedy as what it is as the idea of like selling this like kind of boutique product.
Absolutely. It's not an album, it's not music, it's a fucking concept. It's like an artistic
Think it's pretty seedy
art album kind of thing.
Yeah, but the specific sort of insanity of having this mass produced product that probably costs like that tape label what like 3 cents to get those videotapes,
some VHS rips.
Like how much something like how much overhead they're getting for those things, and that is like that is exactly what they did with fucking like commemorative like dust from the towers or whatever, you know,
the 9/11 commemorative coins. Your special contribution towards these special gold gilded coins will be remembered, just as the victims of 9/11. It's just like I remember those commercials.
There's like an
exact parallel
between those two things that I just think is really funny.
Yeah, the funniest thing about this VHS release is that like a lot of times, like a lot of like there's been a lot of vaporwave physical releases where like a lot of the proceeds will go towards charity. There is not a single mention on here of this going to any like victims of 9/11 fund or anything. There's
still
no
active charities for the 9/11 contribution.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't want to sound skeptical about it, but I literally don't know.
Like PTSD. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are, but okay. Well, we've been going for over an hour. We have another 9/11 album to talk about, and then we also need to talk about the return of DC. But would you guys like to take a short break? All right, and since we don't have any video, just like hit the group chat when you're back. All right.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah everybody start scraping. I'll unmute.
All right. I'll be back.
We're back.
Hello.
Wow. Just in time.
We're back here.
We're back, baby.
We're back. And, we have another 9/11 album to talk about. That is Deep Dark Trench by Christ. Have you guys listened to this recently?
So I listened to
2 weeks ago.
I listened to it half of it while commuting home on Monday, and then the other half commuting home on Tuesday. And man, it's a lot better than I thought it was. I really only remember it from the single that he dropped. I mean, I don't know if you would call it a single, but
the like little preview.
Yeah. So that was mainly how I remembered it. So I went in I was basically expecting it to be just like, just chaos and like two unsynced like pop, like 2000s pop songs layered over each other. It's a lot better than I remember.
It's crazy, and I have this theory about it that I think it's like a really good example of like the future that vaporwave could have had. Like I think it like takes all of the tropes of vaporwave, and like it's a really good example of something that goes beyond vaporwave, where it like it takes all of the techniques and tropes of vaporwave of taking samples and glitching them out and slowing them down, but it does them to like it just takes it everything to the next level. Like it uses it glitches out the samples more than most vaporwave does. B in the way that it uses more modern samples, like it's sampling like Miley Cyrus and Tame Impala and shit. Then also how it like connects it to something super like intense and conceptual like 9/11. Like it's like I think it's like truly like it's a there's a different timeline where Vaporwave went in that direction rather than going in the lame direction, which is which is where we find ourselves today.
So I was just gonna say it is truly the SlimeWire album. Like it is.
It's the master pick of the SlimeWire.
Yes. Podcast. Yes. It is the champion of. It's the shining beacon of what our brand of Vaporwave could be. It is the old craft, the old ways taken updated, and redone in a fresh way, and showing how you can have integrity to what Vaporwave was at one point, and still evolve, still go forward. So yeah, I totally do agree with that. And also, like, it's just not, like, it's fun to listen to. It's good. It scratches your itch, my itch, as a guy who used to like, Plunderphonics, hip-hop fucking, what do you call it? Instrumental hip-hop.
Yeah.
It has the loops on here that you can kind of groove to them, you know. It's enjoyable to listen to, and B, it's got that super conceptual stuff that Christ is known for. And also, I think that it's the theme of America, the critique of America that it has is something that only Vaporwave could supply. You know,
yeah, like, this is a. And sort of specifically, like, something that only, like, Christ as a producer could supply, in my opinion. Yeah. I think Christ is really the champion of, like our age group, sort of. I think he's really, like, sort of... I was telling this to Nico, but I think he's, like, sort of like the voice of a generation.
Shinzon.
Shinzon. He's the voice of our... Sorry.
No, definitely. Yeah, recently Trident had recommended me a lot of Christ with three
crosses. With three T's.
Yeah.
It's just pronounced Christ.
They're not T's.
They're crosses, yeah, true.
Yeah, they are actually Christian crosses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and each and every one of them was so like they were just pinnacle to the just what we had enjoyed from just listening to this kind of music. The 9/11 album in particular was such a, I don't want to say well respected, because any kind of media pertaining to that kind of shit and just putting that shit into a kind of scope, it did its job well, you know what I mean, and what it was trying to represent.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at Christ's discography as well, it's like, I think like,
yeah,
he sets the bar with No Lives Matter, and then social justice, whatever, takes it to another level, and then this album takes it to like the, natural progression, of those three.
Yeah, and I definitely do, like, I think that, maybe me and Triton differ on this a little bit, but I think that the next stuff that he came out with was a little bit,
It was trash. It was trash.
Yeah, it was trash. It was trash. I do think there's a point that you could make that he is Alone Online is kind of a way to carry forward the vision of No Lives Matter. But it is, you know, I do get how the concept that he started with No Lives Matter extends into Alone Online. But yeah, it's just not, I just can't listen to it.
It's not as fulfilling.
It makes me,
yeah.
Yeah, I just have to turn it the fuck off. I just have to turn it off. Because it's just Casio keyboards and fucking, like, really bad synth patches. And I just don't, I'm not into it. But yeah, Deep Dark Trench definitely, perfects something that he started with No Lives Matter. It's a great 9/11 album. Just another great 9/11 themed album.
Yeah, I'm not
I
even...
I feel like it
did
is
you guys...
the,
Go ahead.
I feel like the Christ album is a lot more invasive as opposed to the Corp one.
Oh yeah,
that, played with the VHS. Like they're both polar opposites. One of them kind of like manipulates the feelings that you get. The other one just kind of plays them out to you, like on a recorder kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Message, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Deep Dark Trench is about the post 9/11 United States, and but it doesn't. It's not.
It doesn't lean on all the media about it, or like all the previously recorded kind of.
Yeah, it's a metaphor for the post 9/11. It's not directly about it. It's not directly in it.
Yeah,
it's not
explicit
about it. Yeah, I think that, like, yeah, this is a weird digression, but the I worked with this really weird guy. Well, he later became my very close friend, but he was he was my fascist coworker. He was a self-described fascist. He was a far right.
You've told me about this guy.
Lunatic. Oh yeah, I love this guy. If he's listening, shouts out to you. I think he has a podcast now too, actually.
Oh hell yeah, let's bring him on.
Oh yeah, no, he's a great guy. He's this super muscle-bound freak. He was a giant, like fucking ripped guy.
Yeah, but he was a alpha male.
Yeah, yeah, he was an absolute alpha. And he like he used to be fat, and he like had a like trad reawakening and got like super fit.
Fuck. And then he went full fucking what's it called?
Did he read Bronze Age Mindset?
I don't know. Probably. Yeah, he was whatever, like a Scrimblo male or whatever.
I couldn't remember it either. I can't remember what the hell it's called either. It's Beta. No. Well, Omega male.
Oh, Sigma. Shit. Sigma male.
Is it Sigma? Oh, I thought it was Omega. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you're going straight Sigma. Oh, he was a Sigma male if there ever was one. But anyways, he was talking about how the...
Ligma...
So, like, you know, in the...
Cut that out.
Like, within Marxist thought, okay? And yes, we are going there today.
Oof.
There is the division of classes is... Everybody knows there's the bourgeoisie and the proletariat, right? But there's also the lumpen caste,
right?
Do I? Well, you do now. So there's the lumpen bourgeoisie, which are kind of like small business owners. They're people that are like on the periphery of being actual bourgeoisie capitalists, right? And then there's the lumpen proletariat. The lumpen proletariat are basically like Karl Marx thought of them as like criminals, drug dealers, kind of layabout, alcoholic pieces of shit that don't do anything. And they are on the bottom caste of the proletariat, right? So they're just pieces of shit. There's working class people who go to work and they're exploited by their boss. And then there's the lumpen proletariat. And Marx thought that the lumpen proletariat were just useless and just kind of annoying. And they were never going to contribute to like the revolution or whatever.
What did Karl Marx want to do with these people?
He didn't care. He just thought that they had no...
He was simply commenting
on
them.
I mean, he had a certain idea. What did he want to do?
Oh, yeah. He probably
follow that thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He probably had ideas for what would happen to them. So my fascist coworker was talking about how the new...
Oh, Lumpen he's the fascist?
Sorry?
What?
Okay, so my fascist coworker was talking about how the... So the Lumpen proletariat are basically proletariat's people that can't work. They don't work. They have no productive value for society.
So they're retarded?
They suck.
Yeah, they're Chris Chan. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. So 4chan, Redditor, basement dweller people are the lumpen proletariat of like the 21st century, right? Because they are not working class. They don't work. They're unemployed, but they live in their parents' basement. And so they contribute nothing to society whatsoever. So they are. So when you think about like a guy who
lives, so you want to throw them into a meat grinder, is what you're saying?
Absolutely.
But oh,
well, that's not what he's saying. Green. That's not what he's saying. He's getting to a point. You got to let him get there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah. So that is like.
I mean, it's pretty jagged already.
Yeah, it's better. It's better to think about those people as being the lumpen proletariat, and Christ is making the music of that class of people. Like, he's the artistic vanguard of that class of people.
Wow.
Yeah, ironically, Christ is very successful. He runs one of the biggest vaporwave labels
out there. Yeah, definitely.
He's probably
is his like music less than 50.
He's probably one of like 50 people that makes a living off of vaporwave. Like, and that's what he does.
Which makes is pretty a living off it.
Off that label, yeah. That's all he does. That's his job. Like,
but like the way that he made that money is by making music that is explicitly about the life and the culture of basement dwelling. You know,
is that where vaporwave comes? Is that what you see as vaporwave?
Well, that's what I see as vaporwave. Yeah.
That's heavy duty.
You can't like, that's not all.
I see it a little bit more respectable than that. Shit. Okay.
That's not all it is.
Not
but that's
respectable. I mean, I'm not saying that it's important.
That's you know the vibe I mean? I get from Christ's music, definitely.
I feel like we're both meeting at the same point, but we're both like fucking like dancing around our areas. where it's just like, oh man, I feel a little bit offended, and then you're like, oh, I don't mean to be offended.
Well,
I don't feel offended at all. I'm not saying that, but I mean just like fucking in general.
Yeah, but like, I mean, yeah, like I get that like vaporwave isn't just that, but that's definitely a big part of what it was in the beginning and what it is now. And
oh,
I mean,
definitely.
Like, pretty much everybody making vaporwave, especially in the beginning, you know, it was like,
yeah, it was not a weirdo in their parents' basement, or they were like, yeah, no, I get what you're saying,
yeah,
but like Christ, like all of Christ's music is definitely about that experience.
Yeah, it's definitely topical of the time. It's definitely on point.
Yeah, so he's the only one he's providing a voice to these people, you know?
For that specific...
Yeah.
That's where I differ in opinion. I don't feel like that kind of music, because I like that kind of music. Do I represent that kind of... Exactly. Do I represent that kind of people?
Yeah, well, no,
do I need to look in the mirror? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, everybody, I mean, maybe all, I
don't take it personally, yeah.
Let's be real here, like, you are, you
absolutely.
Know, you're,
I'm a piece of shit mongoloid, too.
Yeah, absolutely, we all are. If we weren't, we wouldn't be doing this. I mean, there's no, like, there's no questioning that. But yeah, like... That's why I like Christ's music, and that's why I think Deep Dark Trench says something about America that only Christ could say.
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, we've got one more item on the dock today. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the return of Dream Catalog, baby. Dream Catalog is back new name. It's Dream Catalog Evo. Evo standing for evolution. So
hell yeah.
Yes. So from what I've listened to, like HKE and Shima have been doing podcasts about DC coming back. Their main idea is that they're focusing on hyper culture, hyper reality, and all of this new music coming out of DC is going to be based in the here and now. They're no longer focusing on the sleepy nostalgia aspects of vaporwave and or dream punk. So, and this new formation of the label was inaugurated with the brand new Hong Kong Express album, which I can't remember
in like 5 years.
He did one like last year that was good. But
really,
Hong yeah, Kong yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or was it HKE?
It was under the Hong Kong Express name. I'll link it to you. But absolutely. It's good.
Okay.
But this one was called Lucid to It. Yeah, that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I have some mixed feelings about it. I like really didn't like it when I first listened to it, and then on my second listen, it sort of warmed up to me. But I think my main issue with this is that if they're going to be talking about hyper future and hyper culture and like this idea that this is supposed to be an evolution, you know, I feel like a lot of this album is sort of a de-evolution to like a lot of 90s tropes. I think it sounds a lot like Nine Inch Nails personally.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you guys have thoughts about this?
Now, Go ahead. Now, I was the one that had brought up Nine Inch Nails to Triton.
You did, yes.
When I first heard this album, it gives off a feel like someone who has like just a plethora of creativity, you know what I mean, to give out. And they're kind of pigeonholing themselves into like a singular kind of sound with each song kind of thing. I had compared it to like Trent Reznor, not necessarily Nine Inch Nails, but like Trent Reznor and his kind of solo outings. He would do a lot of motion picture soundtracks, and he would do a lot of like kind of background music for TV shows and shit like that. And he would have this kind of general, but he would also do like I forget what show it was, but he had done like a sing song kind of thing. He would never, but he didn't label it under Nine Inch Nails. I'm not sure what TV show it was. You have to look it up. But it totally reminded me of this, not necessarily in tone, but just like, you hear a lot of shit going on, and then you hear somebody singing over it.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of like industrial kinda, type production. With yeah, definitely.
And go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good. I did feel like I get how this was his attempt at resetting everything, right? Like he was just trying to get back to like to get to something that was gonna be simple. And I do get like I feel like this is not I definitely did not get the feeling that this was like an album that was like nostalgic for the 90s. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, sonically, that's what it reminds me of. I think the conceit of this and specifically all of the new Dreamcat Evo releases is that it's not supposed to be nostalgic in any way. It's supposed to be the here and now. Like, that's the idea.
Well, I felt like when I was listening to this, it felt like he was trying to clip the weeds or like clip the branches of like the HKE Hong Kong Express sound that has grown so convoluted and like insane, and like trim the branches and get back to like something that sounds like Hong Kong Express.
I
felt like he was trying to take all the stuff that he's been doing and synthesize it and boil it down
it wasn't just samples of other songs. It was kind of like his own shit, and then kind of went through the ringer of how he produces shit.
I think he's still trying to like be a little bit more like commercially viable. I don't know, I guess I wouldn't say that, but like
original, so it's not just fully sampled kind of stuff. That's what I would think.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like, I don't know, he has features on this album that are like vocal features, you know, like it seems
there's a lot of that.
Legitimate album, you know. I will say that I didn't particularly like it, and I've always had like a like, you know, I thought it was okay, but almost everything that HKE has ever made, the stuff that I really like tends to be the weirder experimental stuff and the stuff that's like more off-brand from the traditional HKE sound, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So that is like, that has always been my thing, like, what do you call it? Red something anime?
Red filter anime.
Yeah, red filter anime. That sound was really appealing to me. I was originally resistant to Flap, but after listening to some of the Flap mega mixes that Triton sent me, I was, you know, obviously that is right up my alley.
Oh, the Flap Megamix 2019, which was the the story behind that was that they had Anthony Fantano on their podcast, and they were like, they were asking him about Flap, and he had never heard of it, of course, and so he made that mega mix specifically for Anthony Fantano, and then released it, and it's amazing. Yeah,
hell yeah. Yeah, so this was not quite in my wheelhouse, but yeah, I think I like what it is, and I think I just feel like basically what has happened is that HKE has come out of another manic state or some kind of, you know, like period of time where he wasn't quite in touch with reality. He's realized, oh shit, I should probably, you know, just try to have like a record label and put out music and not be like this insane niche internet micro celebrity and be constantly attacking people online. And I feel like, yeah, this is a good back to basics album for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what this is gonna be and if he ends up taking some of the other influences that he of the like music that he was making and like packages it into a different persona or a different name and releases it. But yeah, this, like, I thought it was fine and I wasn't nothing really stood out for me.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like, I really didn't like it at first listen, and then like it took like a couple chikes, but it's just sort of fine. I don't think it's like groundbreaking in any way, unlike like a lot of his previous music. If this is like what he needs to do to like try and make Dream Catalog like a more viable actual record label and really get out of the internet niche like shit that he wants to get out of, then like I fully support whatever like they're gonna be doing over there at Dream Cat, you know.
Sure. I could see you touring with this shit. This would be nice. That'd be pretty tight.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? This is tourable music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This seems like something that I would love to go to mm-hmm. the show and jam out to.
Given the COVID.
That's true.
Well, I mean, there's concerts happening. I keep getting fucking advertisements for Playboy Cardi playing at the Moda Center. So,
oh, whoa. I never seen that one.
Yeah, that might be pretty tight. I think it's for like a couple months away, so who knows what's going to happen. I'm not going to buy tickets because it's like the tickets are like $200 and it's in like a massive stadium at the Moda Center. But that'd be pretty tight though.
Yeah, that shit's going to get canceled without any kind of COVID related.
Yeah, it's possible.
He's not even gonna show up.
All right, fellas. Well, Donda, 9/11, Cat Corp, Christ, HKE. We really were talking about the greats here today. And it was a good ep, boys.
Yeah.
If
a month too late.
Yeah, we'll be back. Let's try and plan for 2 weeks from now for our next.
All right. Yes, I agree,
boys. All right.
We've got plenty to talk about.
We do. All right.
You guys, listeners out there, this is for you.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna say sayonara.
That's a big sayonara for me.
Bye bye.
You gotta say sayonara.
You have to say sayonara. Okay. It was in your contract when you signed up for this.
Sayonara.
All right, sayonara. All right, later, boys. I'll bye-bye. Speak.